Today we continue with our series on wisdom. And today I want to talk about finding wisdom by in different ways and in different sources. And I was trying to think of a story to kind of open up and share with, and thought about immediately when I talk about, you'll see why it's my first point. When I was 16 and I just started driving, and I remember I got out one place and I went out and my car wouldn't start. And so I called Dad, and Dad very, kind of reluctantly, was like, "Did you try this? Yeah. Is it in park? Yeah. Okay." Came over, he drove over there, and I said, "It just won't start. I don't know what's going on." And he got in, and he's like, "Jason, do you know the difference between P and an R?" And I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Then next time put it in P for park, because you got it in R for reverse, and that's why the car won't start." So, I was a little embarrassed. Friends with me were making fun of me and all that kind of stuff. So then, of course, when we would go places, then my friends would be like, "Hey, Jason, you know P for park?" And I'm like, yeah. So, but it was the fact that I needed to go to somebody else. Because sometimes I tried everything I knew to do, which was pretty limited at that age, but I did what I knew to do. And so I had to go outside myself. And so today, the first thing I want us to see is, and we talk about wisdom, is that we find wisdom in the counsel of others. We find wisdom in the counsel of others. Proverbs 1:5 says this, "Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance." Sometimes we have to go outside of ourselves and get some wisdom. Psalms chapter 1 says it this way. It says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. There he is planted like a tree by the streams of water, which yields in fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. And whatever he does, prospers." So far we have talked about getting wisdom, particularly from God. And rightly so, we should go to the source. And we have his word, and we have prayer, and we have the Holy Spirit, and all of those things work together to help us. But sometimes, it just takes asking somebody. It just takes a person to be there with you, to walk along with you, and to look at something. How many times have you been in a situation, maybe at work or at home, and you're like, "This is it, I can't think of another way," and then all of a sudden somebody walks in and they're like, "But did you notice this?" And you're like, "No, I didn't. But now that I do, this all makes sense." And when we think about it, we should seek others for counsel. It says, "Let the discerning get guidance." How many people in this room have a GPS? Most of us do, right? If not an actual GPS machine, then we have it built into our car, we have it built into our phone. Why do we use these things? Because our wives tell us to. I know, but besides that, which, by the way, just a side note, I always wonder, why do all the GPS have women voices? Just saying. Because if it was a men GPS, they'd be like, "Pull over. You don't need this." All right, so sometimes, though, we need some guidance. Those who are discerning, and we like to be discerning, to know the difference between right and wrong, and to figure things out. And when we are discerning, I like what it says in Psalm. It says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or take in the sit in the company of mockers." Why do I like that? Because here's the thing. We're going to walk along with somebody in life. For the most part, we're a social creature. We want to be with other people. So this first step about taking guidance and counsel from others really is not that difficult. The problem is, who do we walk along with? In the opening here in Psalms, it says, "Blessed is the man who's not with the wicked, not with sinners, not with mockers." There's plenty of those. Just turn on the radio or turn on the TV. There's a lot of talking heads on both sides of the aisle telling us what's right and wrong in this world. just go to work and bring up a topic. There will be plenty of people to come along with you and give you advice. Yep. For those of you still in school, I don't have to tell you, your friends have opinions. They're going to tell you that those pants are out of style. They're going to tell you what music to listen to, what's cool, what's not, what's right about you, what's wrong about you. You don't have to ask them. It happens when you're an adult, too. So the problem isn't that we get counsel from others. Matter of fact, that's the whole premise of advertising. That's why the companies spend billions of dollars every year. They want to counsel you on what clothes to wear, what car to drive, what house to live in, what kind of drink to drink, what kind of food to eat. Now, along the way, they're going to make some money. So they're going to, of course, counsel you on their food, right? On their car. Now, last time I checked, most cities have a speed limit. Most of those speed limits are top out about 50, 55 in town. And I don't care if you're driving a smart car or a Lamborghini, they'll all do 55. But the companies are betting on the fact that they want to cancel to you that you're cooler if you show up in the fun car. They want to cancel you. So what is our job? Our job is to sit with those that are like this person who's planted by a tree, or a tree planted by a stream of water, that meditates on the law, meditates on things that are right. See, the problem isn't getting counsel from others. We do it naturally. But the second point that I want to make today is that we should test a person's wisdom. Test a person's wisdom. In James chapter 3, it says this. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done and humility that comes with wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. You see, we have to test the wisdom. The Bible very clearly tells us there's two kinds. There's some that come from heaven, and there's some that comes from the flesh. It comes from earth. It is wicked. James starts off by saying, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done well. You know, if we want to find advice from somebody, don't we want to have somebody who's successful? You know, if I want to get financial advice, I want to get advice from somebody who has good finances. If I want to get marital advice, I want to get advice from somebody who has a good marriage. I think about Chris Farley. And for some of you, you may not know this character, but in Saturday Night Live a few years ago, Chris Farley had a character. He was a motivational speaker. He was a man, what, you guys can probably finish it, in a van down by the river. For those of you guys who don't know the character, so he's this homeless guy living in a van, and he would go around trying to motivate people and tell them how to have success in life. You get the picture, right? Of course, it's Chris Farley, and he would, you know, a pretty big guy, and he'd wear a jacket about two sizes too small, and pants too, you guys would be pulling him up, and he'd try to convince people to have success. He wasn't very successful in that. Now, that's a comedy routine, and it's pretty obvious it's sarcastic, right? But how many of us take advice from people who don't have success? I don't want to take financial advice from my buddy who's constantly borrowing money from me because he can't pay his bills. And he's like, hey, let me tell you how to do your finances. Oh, let me write this down. You You know, when we take confidence in somebody and their opinion and their advice, we should test it. And the Bible makes it very clear. It's pretty simple. Hey, by their good life, you can see that they're doing the right thing. Wisdom does not come down from heaven. It's earthly and unspiritual and demonic, it says. Why? Because Satan is the father of lies. And he wants to trick you. He wants to lie to you. Again, I'm not picking on advertisers, but that's what they try to pry on. If you just did this, your life would be awesome. I mean, it's just amazing. They have these commercials where somebody is just driving along in their brand new whatever car. And it's sunshine. And everybody's singing. Now, when was the last time you drove down your neighborhood and people broke out into an impromptu singing and dance routine? And the birds came and landed on your car. And only water vapor came out because you're just so fuel efficient. It just is not true. But that's what they sell you on. How about alcohol? That's an easy one to pick on. Look at their advertising. It's never the high life. It's never the good times, the way that they describe it. Now, I'm not bashing that all alcohol drinking is bad. I'm just saying is that it doesn't happen. You don't open the beer and all of a sudden is awesome time. Your team wins. My favorite was the Swedish bikini team would bring you beer. I mean, they just sell it straight out. There's no like being subtle about it. Like, you're going to be awesome and cool because you had this in your hand. Well, that's easy to pick on the world, but how about the church? If you're just a member of this church, you're going to go to heaven. If you have your name on the roll in this denomination, you're okay. As long as you don't have drums on your stage, you can worship God. We all have our things. We all sell them. We all give advice. What does the Bible say? It says, if it's wisdom that comes from heaven, it's pure. It's peace-loving. It's considerate. It's submissive, full of mercy and good fruit. Impartial and sincere. And he concludes this by saying, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Now, why does he connect peace with wisdom? Because I contend, and what James is telling us here, is that if you give true wisdom, peace will be the reaping. That will be your harvest. Why do I know that? Because truth is love. We talked about this last week. The righteousness of God, the truth of God, the wisdom of God will bring life. It will bring peace. Things that come of this earth may seem okay for a minute. Ask the executives at Enron. They made good money for a while. It seemed good. It was a great idea for about 6 months. Now they got the rest of their lives to pay for it, and they decimated thousands of lives. And the repercussions of that chain reaction of financial breakdown is still being felt by many of us. Because things of this earth seem good for a little while, but in the end, it leads to death. You want to test if somebody's giving you good wisdom? Look at their relationships. Do they have peace? Do they have love? Do they have growth? Or do they have brokenness and hurt and pain? Test a person's wisdom. Bring peace, and you'll have righteousness. The third thing that I want us to see today is that once you have the wisdom, don't keep it for yourself. Don't keep it for yourself. Daniel 12:3 says this: those who are wise shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Don't keep it. God didn't give you this wisdom to just make you happy. He gave it to you to share. Because here's the thing, He doesn't give you the complete wisdom. He gives me a little bit. He gives you a little bit. He gives your spouse a little bit. He gives your neighbor a little bit. And He wants us all to get together and counsel and test each other. And once it's been proven and once it's good, we let it shine. See, it's not that we have to ask people to come to the church. If you're stumbling around in the dark, you'll go to a light. The problem is the church isn't shining. The problem is too many times the church has taken worldly wisdom, kind of imprinted a verse or two on it to make it sound right. Let me get the right translation, go through 10 or 12 till I find one that makes sense. Then I pat it on there, and then I present it as godly truth. And then all somebody has to do is like peel back just a little bit, and they're like, wait a second. This is the same thing that Dr. Phil was saying last week. This is the same thing Oprah said last year. This is what Bill O'Reilly says. This isn't godly truth. This is coming from everybody else. There's nothing different about you guys. But God says, when you reveal my truth, it's like a shining light. And what does He say here? He says, those who are wise will shine like brightness, and those who lead many to righteousness. You see, light will bring people to righteousness. Because this world is trouble. And in this world is pain. And if we can bring peace because of our wisdom and offer love instead of hurt, we don't have to ask people to come to church. They're going to want to come to church. There's a little song that kids used to sing. This little line of mine. I won't sing it for you because I don't want to hurt your ears. Amy's over here going, amen. But let me tell you, this little line of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I won't hide it under a bush. Oh no, I'm going to let it shine. Won't let the devil blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, you are the light of the world. A person doesn't light a lamp and hide it. He puts it out so that it can be seen and light the whole house. Are we letting our light shine? Are we using earthly wisdom to try to shine that light? Guys, I'm not talking about a candle. I'm not talking about some little nightlight. God's light is a star. Do you understand what a star is? It's a huge ball of gas. There's one, just one in our solar system, and it's enough to heat us and give us light and life. And it's millions of miles away. Jesus wants to take that light and put it in you. So when you're walking down the street, people are like, woo, he's got some Jesus. And it's difficult. I know. I'm preaching to myself because I don't always live that way either. I try to hide it. But let it shine. Let it shine. But here's the problem. We've tried too many times to use other people's wisdom. You got to get in the Word. You got to be in communion with God yourself. Because God's got His part to share with you. In conclusion, I want to kind of review back the last 3 weeks. We started off, we talked about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We talked about how when we respect Him, because He is the source of all wisdom, He will share it with us. It begins with humility. The problem with wisdom is that too many of us think we already know it all. So we start by realizing we don't, and God does. Secondly, we need to pursue wisdom despite the cost. Because no matter what the difficulty is, and even though people don't want to accept it, you still have to keep sharing it, and you have to be honest. Do it in love, and do it in peace. it's worth the trouble. Because the end of it is life. And not just life here, but eternal life. That is the promise of wisdom. Today we talked about that we gain wisdom by others. You have to test it. Make sure that it's heavenly wisdom. And then once you got it, let it shine.